And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
Jenny, thanks very much indeed. We are just going to pick out one name from Hebrews 11 today. And what shall I say, says the writer of the Hebrews? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson. Samson, that's who we're going to do. And I'm going to need a little bit of help today from perhaps some of our younger members. There is, with Andy Fahler down on the floor here, a mat. So if you are a small person and can't quite see me and want to come to the front, then you're very welcome to come sit at the front here. Then you can see and perhaps join in. And when it comes to my volunteers, I've got a bag here with various things in it, and I've got some little mini Mars bars as well. So when I ask for a volunteer, you might want to get your hand up nice and quick, because you might just get a Mars bar. Okay, just to remind me to do that, I'll leave those there. And to be honest, I really don't mind about how loud your children shout and cry and scream. Please, let's not worry. It's a family all-age service, and when we're all doing family stuff together, then we just need to just be ourselves. You might want to just make a little bit of a pathway through to walk through at some point, just there, because we might have an arrival of one or two friends in just a moment who might come through that door. You just don't know. I want to begin by asking you, who do you think, who is your greatest hero of all time? It can be an imaginary one, it can be one that is made up by somebody else in a storybook or a comic book. Who is your greatest hero? Any answers? Anyone want to tell us who they think their greatest hero is and why, Zach?
Granddad.
That is a wonderful, wonderful answer. Yeah, brilliant. I wasn't expecting that. You've thrown me off there. Who else has got a great hero that they want to just say out loud for us all to hear? Put your hand up. Who?
Everyone,
goodness me, you really are throwing off. Let me show you the kind of thing that I had in mind. Doctor Who. Anyone else like Doctor Who here? Raise your hand if you're in a Doctor Who. There's a few people there. Here's one of my heroes coming up on the screen there. Who's that? Superman. That's absolutely right, isn't it? Superman, the greatest hero, isn't he? Yeah? Or do you, perhaps some people might think Spider-Man. Who here thinks Spider-Man is better than Superman? Raise your hand. There's a few hands going up. Okay, put your hands down. Who thinks that Superman is better than Spider-Man? Raise your hands. Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? As Harry Hill would say, fight! Great. It's Superman. Big round for Superman. Okay, Paul, if you lick one of his hands, you can stick him to a window and you can look out on the flats across the road there. And Owen over there lives over there, and now all his neighbours are going to be thinking, Owen goes to a weird church. A church for people who don't go to church, including Spider-Man. Fantastic. Well, we're thinking about, like I said, Samson. He is, I suppose, one of the Bible's greatest He-Man heroes. There's a picture of him coming up on the screen. There you are, Samson. Samson as a child, sort of. It's interesting as we come to the story of these Bible characters. Samson was, in a sense, the Bible's he-man. But we find now, we discover in this story, that he was all too human, if I can put it that way. He had his flaws, he had his failures, all the way through. But you know, life actually started out very well for Samson. He actually had a very faithful family. Samson's parents couldn't have children. I guess that, Andy and Kate were saying earlier on that in our church we've got so many little children, another one arrives and we go, oh, it's just another baby. That wasn't the case for Samson's mum and dad. They couldn't have children. They were desperately sad and not being able to have a little child, like, well, these little children who were sat over here, like Lucy, who's joining in with her big voice over there. It was desperately, desperately sad for them. But one day, an angel appeared to Samson's mum, Mrs. Manoah, we'll call her. Manoah was her husband, and said that she was going to have a baby. She went and she told Mr. Manoah, Mr. Manoah, an angel appeared, and we're going to have a child. We're going to have a son. So I need two volunteers. Oh, look at hand straight up there. That's spotting a mask. So let's have Grace from over there, shall we? Why don't you come and be a volunteer for me? Any other volunteers want to come and help me at the front here? Anyone? I'm looking for perhaps. Sam, are you going to come and help me at the front or not? No. Anyone else? Kev, you want to come to the front and be a volunteer? I'm just looking. There's a shortage of boys' hands going up there. I'm looking for a boy. I've got a girl. So look, hold that in your hand. Hold that in your hand. And why don't you come and stand basically a little bit over there. So here we have two people who are going to... Can you see them over there? Look, it's Caleb and there's Grace over here. And I want to just think a little bit, first of all, about Samson's dad, Mr. Manoah. Caleb is going to be Mr. Manoah for us today. Mr. Manoah was a very, very ordinary kind of a fella. He may well have worn a very ordinary hat, like that hat there. And being the kind of guy he was, who knows? We can't be sure about this, but he may well have liked going down the pub and having a beer with his friends. All right? So Mr. Manoah was a very, very ordinary kind of a guy indeed. But you know, he was married to a very, very ordinary woman, Mrs. Manoah, and she was, one thing she loved to do was to make her own hats. There we are. That suits you very well indeed. She was into her craft, so she always was going around with a big pair of scissors in her pocket. There you go. So a very, very ordinary couple of people, Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, doing very, very ordinary things in their very ordinary lives, but with that pain, they couldn't have children. And this angel appeared and said to Mrs. Manoah, "We're going to have a baby." And she went and told Mrs. Manoah. And you know, he was like many of the dads sat over here, whose faces went pale when the women over here said to them, "I'm pregnant." Basically most of them, if they're anything like me, had a slight edge of panic about them and thought, well, now what do I do? Now, I really have got some responsibilities in life. And it may well be that Mr. Manoah, I don't know whether you'd have read The 60-Second Father. I don't know if you read that, Dunk. It's quite a good book. Future men. That's how to grow your lad up to be really manly. There you are. I want these back, by the way. I've still not read them all. Raising boys. There you are. And Dad, you're not funny. Right? A set of poems. I'll keep that one myself. That's what my children gave me. See, it's interesting. The strange thing about Mr. Manoah is that he didn't go to all the various other bits of wisdom. Do you know what he did? He went straight to prayer. And there are various other reasons why he prayed to pray. He prayed, but he prayed. Instead of looking for all sorts of other advice about the child that was going to come, he prayed. And I've written it down here on my notes here, exactly what he said. He said this, "Oh Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again." It's kind of perhaps a little bit because he didn't trust his wife. But I think there's something else going on as well. "To teach us what we are to do with a child who is to be born." He went to God. for help with the child that he was going to have. So I want to say to you, first of all, kids, listen in. I'm going to say something to your dads. Dads, me, dads, live by faith. That's what Hebrews 11 calls us to do, to live by faith. Spend time with your children for God's sake. But more importantly, dads, we must spend time with God for our children's sake. We must pray. Where else are we going to get wisdom to bring up our children? We must pray and spend time with God for our children. So that's Mr. Manoa. Let's turn to poor Mrs. Minot. In one sense, she had to put up with Mr. Minot, who's rather unbelieving at certain points. See, Mr. Minot ended up in a real tiz, in a real panic, because he prayed, God, send the angel back. And you know what God did? God sent the angel back. Now, I don't think Mr. Minot was expecting that, because it threw him into a real tiz. He really did freak out. And he said to God, I've written it down here. He said, oh, we're going to die. We will surely die, for we've seen the Lord. Now, Mrs. Manoa, I don't know whether she slapped him about a bit. So, get a life, Mr. Manoa. If we were going to die, the angel wouldn't have come and told us these things. Stop being a wally, I think is what she said. You see, it's a woman of courage. I think there's something else going on with Mrs. Manoa. She listened to God. She took him at his word first time. She didn't need a second visitation. So I want to say, kids, listen in. I'm going to say something to your mums. All right? Husbands, listen in. Mums, you must spend time listening to God's word and being faithful to God. And like Mrs. Manoa, taking God at his word. Why? For the sake of God your Father and for the sake of your children. And, in this little story here, for the sake of your husband. You must spend time listening to God. I think Mrs. Manoa, she's quite a gutsy person. And no doubt she intimidated the midwife, the health visitor and the local GP. She seemed to have taken the story, an angel appearing to her. She seemed to have taken the idea of a sort of a miraculous pregnancy all in her stride. And I bet when the health visitor knocked on her door, it was fear and trepidation rather than the other way around when the health visitor visits. So Samson had a faithful, faithful family. Secondly, I want to just point out that he had some fabulous foundations. All right, I need a third volunteer. All right, again, remember, I have some Mars bars here. Somebody volunteer? Do you want to come and be a volunteer for me? All right, fantastic. Look, come and stand over here next to Caleb and Grace. That's fantastic. Just stand still over there. Brilliant. This, I hope you don't mind your mum and dad. Was just a lift. There, this is Samson, all right? Okay. Chosen for her hair. Maybe. See, the angel told Mr. and Mrs. Minot that their son would not be allowed three things. Can anyone who remembers the story of Samson tell us, remind us of the three things that Samson wasn't allowed? No drink. That's right. No drink. Yeah, that would fit in. So, yeah, you're wondering why I gave him a bottle of beer, weren't you? What else? That's right, absolutely. They weren't allowed to cut his hair. Those two things weren't allowed to be in the house. What else wasn't he allowed to do?
No hats.
Yeah? Where am I coming a moment?
Touch dead bodies.
Touch dead bodies, that's right. I'm sorry, I can't. I thought I'd just leave that one. Yeah, he wasn't allowed to touch dead bodies. You see, he was going to be what they called a Nazarite, set apart for God's special work. And those three things marked him out as special for God's work. So Samson, who's over here, just so you not forgot, there we go, Samson was actually set apart from birth, or before birth, to be God's hero. The Holy Spirit was given to him. God gave him this physical, supernatural strength. And of course, yes, you're absolutely right, it wasn't allowed to grow his hair. Well, let's kind of like add to the hair that you've got there, shall we? Can I put this on your head? You're brave, are you? Fantastic. Let's see how that figures out. Will everyone roar and clap? Yes! There we are. And I don't know, your muscles don't look that big, so let's wear that on you as well. And so, what do you reckon now? That is Samson. Thank you very much indeed. I reckon that actually for all of that, you need a second Mars bar. Well done. And now you're all wishing you volunteered. If someone bigger had volunteered, I wouldn't have had to lift you up. Set apart from there, from the word go, to be God's hero. And came across in a number of ways. Samson killed a lion. Where is the killing of the lion as Samson famous still nowadays? Where is it seen? In absolutely golden syrup. I've got one in there. Yeah, there we go. Golden syrup. It says on there, out of the strong came forth sweetness. One day Samson killed a lion and some bees nested in it. I'll move that out your way there maybe. And another time he killed 1,000 enemies with, what did he kill the 1,000 enemies with? Anyone remember that? Yeah, it's not really a jawbone, but there we go. There, killed. Can I hold on to that as well? Yeah, fantastic. You're doing great, you really are. Brilliant, and you keep smiling at me. A faithful family, a fabulous foundation for life. And I want to say, children, listen to me. I know your mums and dads. And you got good mums and dads. Your mums and dads love the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mums and dads, like Kay and Andy were saying, sometimes it's hard. But they're doing a great job bringing you up and teaching you. You have faithful families. We have them, haven't we? And you know what? We've got fabulous foundations as well. God has given us so much. We've got so many gifts in our church. People who are good at music, people who are intelligent, and people who know, you know, if you go to your small group, there might be someone in your small group who might say, well, I've not got many gifts, but you can rely on that person to actually summarize the Bible passage in a way that just makes it, yeah, that's right. I always think of those sort of people in a small group. They're kind of like really good backbenchers in political terms. They're not on the front bench leading everything, but no, they're at the back. But they say what's needed to be said at the right moment. And there are people in our church like that. We have wonderful, wonderful, fabulous foundations. And you know, as believers, as Christians, Samson was given the Holy Spirit. A few were given him in his day. Every single believer now is given by God the Holy Spirit of God. But amazingly, even though he had a wonderful family, wonderful foundation. Where's your hair gone? Oh, well, never mind. There you go. We'll sort that out in a minute. He grew up to be a foolish failure. That's what Samson grew up to be. He was often childish. He was often selfish. He was often spoiled. You know, one day he saw a beautiful woman and he decided he wanted to marry that woman. So do you know, anyone remember what he did? What did Samson do when he saw a beautiful woman that he wanted to marry? What did he do? Did he go and talk to her, chat her up nicely, say, give her a bunch of flowers or anything like that? Zach, you've got your hand up. What did he do? Can you remember? He wanted to marry her, yeah. He went straight to his mum and dad and he said this, all right, and no kidding, you can look it up, Judges 13:16, I want that woman. He was demanding, absolutely demanding, and absolutely spoiled. There was one time when he did something that students would have found funny nowadays, but he was just being a wise guy and funny. He ripped off the gateposts of a great big city and took them and carried them away to a big hill far away. And you can imagine all the people in that city waking up in the morning and saying, where are all the gateposts gone? Oh, there they are. How did they get up there? Way on a hill, far away. Samson, being a laugh, being funny, acting like a student right into his age when he should have been somewhat more mature. You know, sometimes he was nasty. Sometimes he was brutal. One day, just because some people figured out a riddle that he had set, that riddle, on the syrup tin, he got 300 foxes, tied their tails together, set them on fire, and let them run through the enemy's field. Just simply because someone had figured out his riddle. He was cruel as well. So he actually ended up being a rather foolish failure. So I've got another hat for you. There we are. He grew to be somewhat of the foolish failure. But at this point, he still had his hair, so let's get that back on you. You're right. Still smiling. I might give you a third Mars bar in a minute. One of his greatest downfalls actually was women. And one in particular, Delilah. Not once, not twice, three times, Delilah, who's a Philistine, wanted and tried to con him, tried to trick him into finding out the secret of his great strength. And in the end, he let her know. And we've got a bit of a film which Jeff is going to show us. It's very, very short. I don't know if some of you smaller ones just want to come to the front here so you can see the film. Can you see the screen? See the screen from over there? You can see it? All right, then. We've got the sound up ready.
Samson.
Samson ended up, they actually poked his eyes out as well, though. I'm going to make you so you can't see now. I'll take that off of you, actually. There we are. Is that alright? You okay under there still? It's such a good sport. I might have to give your dad and mum a Mars bar as well. But your mum's a dentist, so she wouldn't want one. I'm sure. There we are. There's a picture of Samson. Blind fool. They cut off his hair. They poked out of his eyes, actually. And he couldn't see anything. We'll leave you suffering for too long under there. Here we go. He ended up ruining and wasting it all. And there's a warning there for all of us, isn't there? God gives us so much in our lives. And we can waste it. We can waste it by our own foolishness. We can waste it by our own sinful rebellion. And we could end up being spiritually blinded and being spiritual fools. But the last thing I want to say, you know, if you had a faithful family and some fabulous foundations, you became a foolish failure. But you ask the question, why does Hebrews include him in the hero, the list of all the greats? I think it's this, is that with faith, failure is not final. Failure is not final. It wasn't the end for Samson at all. Samson one day was brought into public to be ridiculed by his enemies. And at a feast of their god, his hair had started to grow again, and they put him right there in the center of everything. And at last, Samson demonstrated some wisdom and some faith. He depended upon two people. Number one, as a blind guy, he depended upon a servant. He said to a servant, "Put me in the very middle to where the pillars are so I can lean on them." And so he was led in to the pillars and he was dependent upon somebody else doing that for him. And secondly, he depended once again, not on himself, not on his own brute strength, not on his own clever riddles. He depended upon God He prayed. And he said to God, God, would you give me strength again one more time? And he pushed and he shoved and he pushed those great pillars down and they came crashing down. And in that one moment, he killed more enemies of God's people, more enemies of God in that one moment than he killed throughout his entire life. You see, faith means that failure is not final. And I want to say this to us all. I mean, if you're young, listening, you may not feel it right now, but I don't know, maybe what I say now is something you might remember. I want to say this to us all. Failure isn't final. And as we grow up in our lives, every single one of us have made mistakes. Not just one, but umpteen mistakes. And Kate said earlier on, the thing about being a mum with two kids, so often you can feel guilty. We can feel failures. And life throws all sorts of stuff at us that makes us feel like failures. Sometimes it seems that life itself is set up to make us look foolish and failures. And sometimes we really do fail God by our own sin. But failure is not final. See, God is not limited by our failures. And that's what the story of Samson tells us. God is bigger than our failures. Bigger than our worst failures. And all we need to do is, like Samson, is to turn back to him and acknowledge that. Acknowledge our failures, but acknowledge that he's bigger than them. And to trust him and not to wallow in miserable self-pity, but to say, with you, God, I can walk forward strong again, serving you into the future. You know, Samson, above everything else, was a picture of Jesus who is to come. Our reading ended like this from Hebrews. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Something better? You see, we know something better. We know where Samson pointed to Jesus. Jesus, the real, genuine hero of the Bible. Like Samson, Jesus' birth was miraculous and involved angels. Like Samson, Jesus was chosen by God before his birth. But, unlike Samson, Jesus didn't grow up to be a foolish failure. But, here's the thing, people thought he did. People thought he was a foolish failure. They laughed at him as he died upon that cross. They laughed at him for being a fool and for being a failure. I've written down some of the things they said. They said to him, he saved others, but he can't save himself. What a fool. He's the king of Israel. Crown of thorns upon his head. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. They taunted him. Come on down. If you're big and strong and clever and mighty, if you are who you claim to be. They said this, if he trusts in God, let God rescue him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Well, you don't look like it there, do you? And by staying there and dying there, he proved to be the wisdom, ultimate point of wisdom in the whole universe. God in human form dying so that you and I can be forgiven. Something greater than Samson. Conquering a greater enemy than Samson's enemy. Conquering sin, conquering death. And he opened a future and a glory that Samson could even only just begin to dream of. Rock solid, sure of being in, as Pete said earlier on, in God's forever family. In eternity. So that's the story of Samson. Thank you so much to my volunteers. I don't know, where's Pete and Paul? You two are my volunteers as well. Pete, have a Mars bar, mate. Thank you for volunteering. Paul. We're going to stand in just a moment. Thank you very much for helping me. If you want to put your things down there, out of the front here. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're going to sing Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer. I think it's a great song which actually fits in with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is about following the men and women of faith from the past who sought to serve God and to serve God into eternity. So let's stand and let's sing this final song together.